coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com. I want to welcome you to my office. Right now we are having a new tech system, whatever that might be, installed in the studio. So I'm doing this from my office. Today is Tuesday, April 26th, 2022. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for your patience as we go through this minor transition. A couple of things that are on my radar here on this Tuesday before Stan Dale comes in. The Supreme Court right now is hearing arguments about President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. It's a big deal. Also, the Biden regime slashes millions of acres eligible for oil drilling in Alaska. You know, this green agenda, this climate change agenda, this is what they're pushing for right now. Obviously, they want to push, they want to make it so in the next 8 years, none of us are going to be driving gas automobiles. None of us are going to be living in any kind of remote setting, despite the fact that there's this mass exodus out of the cities. It's going to compel this contraction back into the cities if we don't have accessibility or availability to transportation. In addition to all of this, okay, on a different topic as well, because there's quite a few things that are, at least in my view, that are important to discuss. The IMF director had come out as well and said, you know what, maybe we printed a little bit too much money and we are looking at some unintended consequences there. Very interesting. We see where Tennessee as well, different topic indeed, Tennessee as well, they're finally getting tough on criminals in that state, where they're going to be requiring the criminals to serve their stated prison time as opposed to the fractions that we've seen elsewhere. Chinese Communist Party, this is a big deal as well. They are seeking, through front groups, and that's plural, they're seeking influence and partnership and alignment with state agricultural officials after teaming up with Bill Gates. Now, this is something that we have to take a look at. Epoch Times is reporting on this, and we have to take a look at this and understand that the Chinese Communist Party, has this enormous push, oversight, and connectivity, partnership, I guess, with the World Economic Forum, with the World Health Organizations, with pretty much setting the entire globalist stage. So when you look at the goals of the World Economic Forum, or the whatever it might be, whatever goals you're looking at in terms of a depopulation agenda, or in terms of a globalist infrastructure, you have to always watch the Communist Chinese. You always have to watch the World Health Organization. And by the way, on May 22nd of here next month, there will be a vote to amend and adapt the amendments of the World Health Organization to make 194 countries subservient to the World Health Organization in terms of pandemic response and healthcare response. Now, this is a treaty that's already in place here in America, in agreement with the World Health Organization. So it really doesn't need to be ratified through Congress as a normal treaty would. Instead, and rather, it's already been ratified, or it's already been accepted. Let me make that exception here. Accepted as policy and procedure. And now, with respect to the amendments, it will make the American health care system subservient to the World Health Organization's guidelines for pandemic and different types of different types of mass illnesses or mass contagions. But back to what I was talking about earlier about Beijing and about the Communist Chinese Party, about their group partnership with the agricultural departments of the states, different states, and Bill Gates. We should be watching this as well, because a number of U.S. government officials, they took part in this virtual meeting, this massive Zoom call hosted by this CCP-backed influence association with ties to Bill Gates. The United States Heartland China Association. Have you heard about this? I can't believe I'm actually looking at those words all clumped together. The United States Heartland, United States Heartland China Association. The acronym, of course, is USHCA, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, was founded in 2003. Now, this organization held the online 2022, and I'm citing the Epic Times now, 2022 U.S.-China Agricultural Roundtable earlier this month in April. The online event was, again, hosted by the Chinese People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries, or CPAFFC, to be precise. President Trump had warned about this. He had warned about this during his tenure as president. He had warned back in February of 2020, then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called out this association as the public face of the Communist Chinese Party. Now think about that. And this regime is teaming up with the CCP in this. It's almost hard to fathom how this is playing out. The public face of the Chinese Communist Party's official foreign influence agency, the United Work Front Department. You can't make this up. All right. So again, to be clear, the President Trump and cabinet officials, they warned about CPAFFC back in February of 2020. Then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, oh, wait a minute. This is the public face of the Chinese Communist Party. And it is an influence agency. The CCP uses the United Work Front Department, acronym UFWD, to run its foreign influence operations back or in the United States. The CCP has also deployed this grassroots level United Front groups as part of its effort to infiltrate our civil and political institutions. Well, it's already happened. CFAFFC is tasked. Their job is to co-opt subnational governments. Now, the meaning of that in their terms, let's look at more of the states and different cabinets within the federal government, as well as the different states, all right, to influence and co-opt them into CCP benefits. So what we're seeing is this push toward this Chinese Communist Party influence, or the subservience to it, which will lead to what? It's going to lead definitely into this infrastructure of this globalist one world system of governance. And I talked yesterday too about the Chinese digital dollar. All right. And again, one might think, well, wait a second, this is just for the Chinese. The template for that on a larger scale is being rolled out in different European countries, as well as being looked at here in the United States. So, folks, understand, we might be winning, or it could very well appear that we're winning small battles here and there. But the left and the globalists, they are pushing forward with this globalist agenda, and we have to be wary of that. But the partnership by the CCP organization with different states, including and especially with Bill Gates. Now, remember, Bill Gates is one of the largest owners, or one of the owners that has the most farmland, owns the most farmland in the United States. But this roundtable, and I want to get back to this roundtable just briefly, included Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur. Now, I'm citing again Epic Times here. Mike Beam from Kansas, Missouri Director of Agriculture, Chris Chin, Iowa Secretary of Agriculture, Mike Naig, and Darren LaHood from Illinois. Now, these are Midwestern countries, obviously, with a big stake in the production of our food production. The event was initially reported by the National Pulse. I've got to say, they were ahead of the curve on this. And the fact that calling this out, that the state-run Chinese Academy of Social Science was one of the partners in the event, which, again, makes sense when you look at this and how things are playing out. So I wanted to make sure people really caught that and the importance of that. And again, the link to this will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. So tomorrow, I want to just kind of break in with the programming here. I'm coming from my office today. I'm going to have Stan Deo on here shortly. The reason being, of course, we're having a new tech system of cameras and whatever goes with it. I don't know what this stuff is, but whatever connects to them. To upgrade so we can actually expand our abilities and make sure that our downtime is minimal. So I'm excited about that. And to that end, we may have a show from the office tomorrow, or may all have updates, or we may not have a show. It's going to depend on how things go with powering things down and powering things back up. But nonetheless, we're on the move, and that's, by the way, that's driving people absolutely crazy, the fact that we're still around. And you'll have to excuse me too. I've got still some work being done in my mouth, and if it sounds like I'm talking with a mouthful of marbles, well, it's not really. I've got some pieces of metal in there and some bone grafting that had to be done up here in my jaw. So thank you for putting up with me on that. And what better profession to be in than radio or podcasting or broadcasting than that, if you have to have mouth things done or bone grafting in your mouth. That's pretty interesting nonetheless. All right. The other bit of news, maybe John Moore yesterday was not wrong indeed. Did you see this, folks? This is amazing. That this has not gotten more coverage. John Durham has hundreds of emails between Fusion GPS reporters, or Fusion GPS and reporters. Now, I downloaded all these emails that were available through the litigation that's ongoing, or through the investigation and through the criminal filings from Sussman and others. But in addition to the obvious email, the relationship between Fusion GPS and reporters, there's also a DARPA relationship there. The Defense Department, DARPA, and classified data. What I'm telling you is the entire Spygate scenario, the Russian influence operation that the left had said that President Trump was involved, a Hillary Clinton paid for operation. Well, guess what? It was not. It was that and more. As a matter of fact, it was not just a Hillary Clinton operation, but the levels of how can I even put this? The levels of deception were actually involved some of the nation's most prominent and influential reporters. They were in on the entire, I don't want to say scandal, the entire criminal operation. Now, which also kind of connects to what's happening today on Twitter. And you might say, well, you know what? I don't do social networking. I care less what anyone on Twitter says. That's kind of the way I feel too. However, when you look at Twitter as kind of a town square that people accept, and you see the left, and you see some people really getting angry about Elon Musk, about his taking over Twitter, put that into perspective as to why they're getting angry. I'm not talking about the lunatics that posted Twitter. I'm talking about the reporters and the people who have influence on Twitter. Why are they so afraid of Elon Musk taking over? Now, I'm personally, I got to say this. In terms of me, I don't trust anybody, Elon Musk included. All right. Maybe that sounds, I don't know. Maybe that sounds pretty sad, but I don't trust him. I don't trust anybody when it comes to allowing the free discourse of legitimate topics and such. Okay. I think that we are in for a long ride of censorship, whether it's labeled censorship or not, is something totally different. But in terms of the takeover of Twitter, I'm still kind of not really, let's just wait and see. All right. But back to the emails. Again, this is something that look, when I spoke with John yesterday, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, when I spoke with him yesterday, and he was on the show, he had said, well, these emails, man, there's something. There's something, or the Durham investigation is rolling forward. And I said, well, you know what? I'll believe in this when I see perp walks. Because myself, having been involved in investigations in my area in 35 years, seeing what I've seen, the meat is when an arrest is made. And then, of course, the meat, potatoes, and gravy is when a conviction is obtained. Are we even going to see any of this, despite the fact that we have collusion between the reporters, between the Clinton camp, and between social media, including and especially Twitter and Facebook and Google and others? But are we going to see any kind of arrests made because there is lying to the FBI? And if you really want to dig into this, the big part of this, at least in my view, is the intent here. This has seditious intent. But when we look at this, Special Counsel John Durham, he filed a motion in response to the efforts of, now think about this, Hillary for America, Fusion GPS, and others. What they did was they filed a motion to keep secret the communication involving Fusion GPS, and they sought to keep the secret using the attorney-client privilege thing. Durham stated, however, that the purported privilege, the privilege holders who have intervened, do so in a case in which the defendants had denied representing any client when he brought the Russian Bank One allegations to the FBI. In other words, the privilege controversy entrapped Sussman. If you remember, and this is an extension of the Sussman indictment and litigation, criminal investigation, I should say. So the privilege controversy entrapped Sussman to a certain extent, seemingly precluding his denial that he was working on behalf of the client, of a client. Pretty interesting, I wouldn't say defense, maybe, but it's pretty interesting. So Durham cast a doubt on the declaration of Mark Elias that Fusion GPS was retained to provide legal advice, And here's a key point that Durham made. If rendering such advice was truly the intended purpose of Fusion GPS's retention, one would also expect the investigative firm to seek permission and or guidance from Hillary for America or its counsel before sharing such derogatory materials with the media or otherwise placing them in the public domain. And in support of that, Durham said that he was in possession of hundreds of emails in which Fusion GPS employees shared raw, unverified, uncorroborated, unsubstantiated information, including their own draft research and investigative work product, journalist work product, with reporters. Okay. Now, I could go through and list because there's 62 maybe of these emails that show the names of the reporters. I can go through and list them. But the larger story here, without getting into the minutia, is the fact that back in 2016, beginning really in 2015, 16, in that time frame, Hillary for America was actually constructing the narrative about the Russian collusion interference and the Russian collusion between Donald Trump and, of course, Russia. That was then picked up by the media reporters, especially the MSNBCs and NBCs, really all of them. And to be fair, Fox too, to some degree, at least many reporters at Fox. So what happened was the Sussman indictment opened up this entire new segment against Fusion GPS. Methinks thou protest too much, Fusion GPS, and then laid bare the names, identities of the reporters and influencers. And we're talking about people from the Wall Street Journal, as well as other people that you've probably read their material in print publications. So all of this together, is showing and proving in hard copy detail the collusion between Hillary Clinton and Hillary Clinton for America, the foundation, the reporters, and Fusion GPS, and laying bare this entire false narrative of Russian collusion. That's where we're at today. But again, have we seen any perp walks so far? No, not really. We're seeing a lot of covering, a lot of CYA kind of activities, but we're not seeing, at least so far, we're not seeing anything that it comes even remotely close to justice. So I just want to make sure that is front and center on your radar. However, you know, we can still see justice, I suppose. If in fact they, and I'm talking about the special counsel, if in fact they move forward. And by the way, in addition to all of this, the Hunter Biden laptop, you know, I've got by here. Hang on just a second. I'm going to reach, pardon my reach as I just knocked the screen. Talk about informal. I just got this in the mail. If you haven't done so already, Wisconsin Christian News. The reason I'm holding this up, this is one of the last Christian publications in hard copy form, and they're barely hanging on. So I would ask that you support Wisconsin Christian News. But right here, the killing of the U.S. dollar. Thank you for above the fold. This is my article in here, and that deals with the actual murdering of the U.S. dollar and the intent by the globalists. And how that all fits in with all of this, because in addition to Russia, or in addition to the killing of the U.S. dollar and China with the yuan thing, as I mentioned yesterday, you have Russia in here as well. And yes, I know. Okay. It seems like I'm jumping around here, but these are all kind of related. You've got Russia in here too, that wants to become part of this alliance, moving away from the dollar and actually to kill the dollar. But that's more of a response by Russia to the proxy war initiated by the Obama/Biden regime over Ukraine. All right. So, and you might say, wait a second, that's an entirely different topic. Well, they're all related. And I really want you to understand that all of these things are related. The taking down of the United States as a country. And again, you've got to look at this, taking down the United States as a country, because the U.S. is a speed bump for the against the New World Order or against this one world governance, because that the United States is acting as a speed bump. And when Donald Trump was in office, he acted like a row of speed bumps, which is why they had to get him out of office. And by the way, do I think that he's going to go back in office? I'm seeing, look, I can't say for sure. I don't know the man's heart, but I'm seeing some things that tell me, no, it's not going to happen. So I'm just saying, as an aside. So anyway, getting back to the point, all of these different things are related. Now they're fighting for time because one of the, as I mentioned, the Durham investigation, the Sussman indictment, and what's happening with Fusion GPS, along with the Twitter takeover by Musk, we're going to see if these documents can be, and they can be found on Twitter, by the way, the emails. We're going to see if anything becomes of it. If the public, once informed, will demand justice on this. That to me is really the, we're going to see what happens. Is the public going to demand justice? Having said all of that, okay, there is so much going on with respect to the threats in this country. The little wins I spoke of earlier, referenced earlier, things like a Trump-appointed judge putting a stop to the Title 42, dropping of Title 42. That's an important victory. I was going to say win, but it's an important victory. But can that be... will that be permanent? And will the Biden regime abide by that judge's, I don't want to say, well, his order. I wanted to use the proper word there. And I suppose order is a proper word. So all of that, too, we have to watch. And because, again, everything is related. Death of the dollar or the murdering of the dollar, to give way to a digital international currency, the fact that we have immigrants, millions coming over the border to attack our culture, the sanctity of our borders are no more, the fact that we are actually giving away to the giving our food production, being reliant too much on other countries for things like fertilizer and other things, and to watch the Biden regime in this case, and as well as partnering up with Bill Gates and the CCP, to watch them together, to see them attempt to take down the United States as a country, and more importantly, the fact that they're taking down the middle class and the farmers and the worker, middle class workers. This is kind of the template that's always been out there. And if you know history, if you studied history, folks, I guarantee you, you've seen this, or this rings pretty well, pretty true to former communist regimes. So I wanted to bring all of those up. And again, the announcement of today, we're having a new tech system, which is a camera system and some switchers and some things, hopefully some new the ability to bring on different people. When I say that, it's not that we haven't brought them on before, but the fact that we don't have to be reliant on Skype or any other video platform, it's really an improvement. I guess by mentioning the new tech, right? New tech equipment. It's the same equipment that is used by InfoWars, for example, and some of the other production companies, including, I think, Fox News. But it's really good. And so that's being installed. So again, possible delay of a, or possible no program tomorrow as things are being installed. but Steve Quayle will be with me on Thursday. And I could come from the office tomorrow with some updates. Just stay tuned on that. Before I go any further, I want to just mention this. It can be frustrating. If you are living life right now, what frustrates me the most, I'm telling you right now, spending money needlessly, because we're on a budget, right? So we don't want to spend money needlessly. And looking for the new studio equipment, the new tech equipment, the offers of credit cards to buy that equipment. I looked at the rates, 21%. Are you kidding me? 23%, another card. And you're talking thousands of dollars for this equipment. This all adds up. So that's one thing that I don't want you folks to suffer from, and that's spending money on interest unnecessarily. So if you're tired of paying high interest rates on your credit card debt, check out LightStream. Folks, a lot of people don't realize this, but sadly they don't, but credit cards have this terribly high interest rates, or they could. Even if you've got excellent credit, your APR could be 20, 30%, even higher. And let that sink in for a second, even higher than that. Oh my goodness. Stop overpaying and take control of your finances with LightStream. Our fine friends at LightStream have worked out a great offer for the Hagman Report. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 5.73%. 5.73. In today's environment, that's really great. 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's way lower than most credit cards. With LightStream, you have an option that actually works for you. They can help you for free to free up all the money you're spending on interest right now, to consolidate at a very much lower rate, and of course, free up your income and free up your discretionary income. And so you're not paying high rates. Here's what they worked out for us to take advantage of this. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Just go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell that out. It's LightStream.com/Hagman. Lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. Take advantage of this because it really does work. My niece, hey, tell you what, my wife sees saving hundreds of dollars a month on her credit card loans by taking advantage of lightstream.com/Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll thank me later. You're going to be glad you did take advantage of this. All right. I just, since this is Tuesday, I want to apologize to a couple of people and to you, the audience as well. Standale is usually on Tuesdays, and I made a mistake with all the things going on here in the studio and personally, you know, family illnesses and such. I made a scheduling mistake. So I want to apologize to Standale for misscheduling him, and also Clay Clark, who is going to be on too, from the Freedom Center Thrive Time show. I want to apologize to him as well. You know, it seems like we are so constantly under this bombardment, whether it's news or family issues or things going on. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about everyone. It seems like everyone is in this blind rush. Do you feel it? I guess this is kind of a non sequitur for anything. I mean, do you feel, and I'm asking to the audience, do you feel like you're, I don't know. Under constant bombardment by different things, more so now than ever before. Sometimes it makes me, I don't know about you, but it makes me want to step away from things and just say, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. But, you know, with proper prayer and such, you just continue putting one foot in front of the other and keep going on. But it's just, again, my apologies to you and the audience and to Stan and to Clay, because I made the mistakes. But then again, don't. And tomorrow, we are not going to have a show tomorrow. I just got handed a note here. We have to make a hard installation of the various components. So it's going to take well into the evening. So we're not going to have a show tomorrow at all. Thursday, of course, is Steve Quayle. And I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully we'll be up and running with our computer equipment. Now, I may do a news update from the office tomorrow, from here tomorrow, depending on how things go with respect to the studio, you know, me leaving there and coming into the office. So I'm looking forward to that. But again, thank you for your patience and your kindness and your support. We really appreciate it. By the way, we could not do this, use the same type of equipment as InfoWars and even Fox News. We wouldn't have that capability if it were not for your support. We appreciate that. All right, moving forward from there, I talked about a number of things earlier, of course, in the first half of this segment today. Really, what we're looking at, seemingly, well, it almost seems like we have a small number of victories, again, like Title 42 and other things, but in the larger battle scene, that's the international political scene and the domestic scene here in America. I find it very interesting to look at the wider angle view. And I see that we might be winning a little bit. For example, Title 42, depending on the reaction from the Biden regime. Yes, certain other areas, the Twitter, is that a win? I don't know yet. And I think it's too early to tell. I think there are a lot of celebrations that are perhaps premature. I don't know the heart of Elon Musk. I do know what he has said in the past, and I'm very uncomfortable with some of the things that Elon Musk has said. But having said all of that, I'm just looking at this perhaps in a wider angle lens, or with a wider angle lens. And that's kind of something too. I talked yesterday about the electronic dollar, right? The Chinese electronic Chinese yuan, and the push for this electronic dollar here in the United States. And I showed you the Wisconsin Christian newspaper about killing the U.S. dollar. I think that is going to happen, and be replaced with a digital currency, because I mentioned too the IMF director coming out and saying, you know what, I think globally we printed too much money. Well, of course you did. And the same thing that we're doing here in the United States is being done worldwide. But I also want to mention too this, as I mentioned the other day, yesterday, about the Chinese yuan, the digital credit or digital currency in China, a social credit system aimed at modifying climate change behaviors now is also being deployed in Italy. So here's what I'm saying about all of this. We can take each individual story, article, report, whether it be about the supply shortage, whether it be about the shortages, about food shortage, about water. And yes, by the way, I noticed that someone wanted me to invite Deborah Tavares on. I'll do that. I've interviewed her before, that about the water shortages. But the issues here, when you look at all of these countries independently employing these different social credit scores, social credit surveillance, this panopticon of surveillance, I believe you can see that we in the West, whether you're watching this, wherever you're watching this from, Australia, Canada, United States, I think we in the West are going to experience this major push toward this global subjugation, regardless of the winds. And I say that just by Well, you know what? Let me show you this, okay? This is something that actually Eric the Tech got me this for my birthday. This series, The Specter of Communism. This is an Epoch Times publication. It's actually two volumes. And the reason I'm going to show you that is because between this and the other books about the communist agenda and about the this Great Reset, New World Order kind of thing, we talk about that very, very generally, in general terms, I suppose, more so than we should, perhaps. Whereas we need to name names and provide, at least in my view, we need to name names. We need to identify areas of vulnerability where we as Christian conservatives have the greatest vulnerability. And we also have to address our survivability. All right. Now I'm kind of getting off track here, but I think this is an important off-track maneuver. You know, I'm not seeing, and I'll ask you, are you seeing for all of the smoke and mirrors that seem to be at play here, whether it be the seemingly advancing, as I mentioned before, the information from the Durham investigation, are we making any progress? Are we making any difference? And if not, what is that going to mean for all of us if we don't turn this ship around? Okay. That can be because the agenda, and please understand this, the agenda of these globalists, you have to remember, these people have been indoctrinated in this mindset. And I would say probably 40%, at least here in America, 40% of the individuals here in America, adults, 18 and up, have been indoctrinated into this globalist socialist mindset. That's a big number. When you consider the small number of men and women it took to advance the American Revolution, to break free from England in the 1700s, and all the events that preceded that, and all the events that came after that, when you look at that small number relative to today's number, on both sides, it makes me wonder if there will be any meaningful, and I'm appealing to you, I'm talking to you, as if you and I were like right across from one another. Is there anything that we can do to stop this? Are we doing anything to stop this? Or are we just making ourselves feel better by talking about it? And by listening, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if there is an answer to that question at this point. And in that same concept, because again, look at this climate change, how that has permeated really our culture since the first Earth Day back in the 1970s, and even before that with eugenics and population control. But look at that, and look at this push for green energy. Look at everything that we're being exposed to as an agenda, or their agenda, because they're not shy about telling us what they are going to do with respect to climate change, with respect to, anything, any part of their objectives. You can go on the Communist Party USA website and read their objectives. And in addition to that, I'll say this, in addition to that, they have a more cohesive manner of working. I mean, Klaus Schwab, you know, the his group of people who have infiltrated the cabinets of our country, of our government, the states within the United States, the provinces in Canada, the federal government in Canada, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, you look at the advancements that they've made, and look at, and also, in addition to that, also look at the discussions that have been openly had. Hey, you know, humans are hackable animals right now, right? They're coming right out and saying the quiet part out loud. What are we doing as conservative Christians? That's kind of what I want to know. Are we doing anything to advance our objective to combat that? Does that make sense to you? Have you asked yourself that? Are we engaged in any meaningful conduct? Because, and again, let me digress a little bit here, off script. Look at what happened on January 6th. You know, when I talk about this, I feel uneasy talking about this about January 6th, but not for the reasons you might think. I feel uneasy that we have people whose only crime was to be invited in or allowed in to the U.S. Capitol, however ill-advised that was, okay? However stupid that was, where their only crime was to walk in the Capitol and then walk out. But in a government-sponsored operation, by the way, they're still in jail. Many are still in jail. And the reason I'm uncomfortable talking about this is, what is our recourse? What can you and I do about this? What should we do about this? I know what I would like to do about this. But if I said that part out loud, and you know what I'm thinking, right? So if I said that part out loud, that might be the last program I ever did, or last segment I ever did. But I'm uncomfortable, extremely uncomfortable when I'm talking about this, because we're not doing maybe what we should be doing, right? Maybe we need to rescue our brothers and sisters who are being held as political prisoners. Maybe that's what we need to do. And if we don't, is the onus on us for not acting? And how can we move forward beyond anything else? I mean, beyond that. You know, a lot of people are talking about 2022 and 2024, and a lot of people are putting their faith in Donald Trump and a lot of, and man, right? But have we honestly, and I'll ask you, have we honestly prayed about what we're supposed to be doing? And I do that a lot. I got to tell you, I do that a lot, because, again, I need guidance. I'm a guy that looks for guidance, looks for direction in this fight. And I ask myself, you know, and I ask God, what is my role at this point? What do you want me to do? And sometimes I don't think that connection, and it's got to be on my end, I don't think that connection is fully functional, because I'm not hearing a lot sometimes. All right. Maybe it's just be still. Maybe it's keep doing what you're doing. So I feel, to some extent, I feel like I'm flying blind here, but in the carnal sense, now strictly in the carnal sense, in the human sense of this, if I were, if I were to have my way, I would rescue those people from January 6th that are incarcerated. I would attempt to right that wrong And I'm looking at this from my carnal, human, physical perspective. That's what I want to do. But of course, can we do that? And there are other hills like this around. You've got the mass slaughter of our unborn. What are we doing about that? Now, I know that many people have saved mothers from having abortions. I know that by their presence, Coach Dave Dobmeier, okay, Coach Dave Live. But how do we fully stop that? Because there's a saying, of course, you cannot legislate morality. And a big part of our government or self-governance, I shouldn't say government, our self-governance as a republic is based on a godly, righteous morality, isn't it? So there are times when we can righteously fight a battle, aren't there? Of course there is. So having said all of that, what are we doing in the larger sense? Because we're seeing this global cabal come in and have these victories. And regardless of what we do, and this is something that even though we might have, like I said, little wins here and there, but regardless of what we do, it seems as if the globalist cabal, they're telling us what they're going to do. They're publicizing it. They're doing it. We are waging some token resistance. But are we winning any ground to take back what we've lost? I don't know the answer to that question. That's why I'm very uncomfortable talking about things like January 6th. I don't know the answer to that question. I've got more questions than answers. And I think that's a healthy place to be because it keeps us in check. It keeps me in check. If you think you know it all, then boy, I'll tell you what, being an investigator and you think you know, you get humbled really quick, especially when things come out of left field. So I said that in the context of all of these big national, international events taking place. Again, whether you're listening to this, whatever country, Western country you're listening to this in, when you've got 194 countries, by the way, as I mentioned earlier, subjugating themselves to the WHO, the World Health Organization, and the treaty, it's not really a treaty, it's a treaty that we've signed on to, but not passed by way of Congress, and they're amending this, but we're going to subjugate our healthcare system to that organization. Are we really winning? And like I said earlier about the assessment indictments and the Durham investigation and the exposure showing the incestuous relationship between reporters and the Clintons and the other NGOs and the globalists and such. Is that going to make any difference in terms of incarcerations? And my answer to that, my feeling on this, I shouldn't say answer, but my feeling on this is no. And this also, I also think about this because when we look at what happened that kind of started in 2020 with the plannedemic, have we really gotten any answers as to how this originated, where this, we know where it originated, at least at ground zero, but how do we have any answers as to who all were behind this, the SARS-CoV-2 thing, as well as the mutagenic jabs, said to be vaccines. Have we really thoroughly investigated all of that? Heck, we're still arguing over the assassination of JFK. We're still not clear on things like Waco and Ruby Ridge. I mean, we're clear on it, but has there been anything done? I can go on and on and on moving forward. It's kind of like an emotional kind of dump here. But what I'm saying is, in the greater sense, how can we move on if we haven't really held to account the people who put us in lockdown, the response to this pandemic? How can we move on if we haven't held to account those involved in the election theft, the last presidential election theft? How can we look to 2022 when we haven't answered 2020? How can we look forward to the next pandemic when we haven't answered anything? We have some answers, but not all of them, and certainly no justice when we haven't addressed the SARS-CoV-2 release. So when we see things, again, just to kind of get back on point now, when we see things like these social credit systems coming out in Italy, and Karen, God bless you, my sister in Italy, not blood sister, but my sister, nonetheless, when we see these things being rolled out, to me, it's not enough just to expose them. We have to go one, two, three steps further. And that is to, in addition to exposing them, that is to really confront them. And again, you know, how can we do that if we are unwilling to become uncomfortable? How can we do that? Especially with the numbers, okay, that we're faced with. And when I say numbers, the percentage of the population who've been so indoctrinated. I mean, look at the discussions. My wife has shown me a Nextdoor app where these discussions were about Fauci and about even today and about the masks and about the lockdowns and such. And I'm thinking, how many people, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the at people's responses. And the same with social networking, social platforms, media platforms. I'm thinking, how many people have already been indoctrinated to where it's beyond, I don't want to say beyond hope, but it's beyond any kind of rehabilitation, meaningful rehabilitation. So did that make sense to you? Do you think about this? Do you think about, and if we're willing to allow these questions to remain, if we're willing to allow, and I say allow because I don't know if there's another word I should use in there, but because we are allowing this, right? So if that's the case, at what point do we say, okay, this far, no further? At what's that, and I talk about this a lot, what's that event horizon? What's that singular moment on the horizon that's going to cause us to say, okay, now you've done it. Now you've gone and done it. And we engage. These are some of the things I think about. Coming back to this platform, I think, well, you know, are we making any difference? And again, I like to think that we are. I like to think that we that through the messaging, that we're in a period of preparation. And I guess in closing, I feel that way, that we are in a period of preparation at this point, that there will come a time, and as Steve Quayle says, we don't have to go out looking for war, it's going to come to our door. There will come a time when we have to make that move and become more proactive than what we are. And I say this from the heart, not wanting it. I'm not looking for a fight. I don't want a fight. But then again, I don't want my grandchildren to be suffering in a wasteland that when we could have done something different. All right, folks. Tomorrow, we're going to be dark tomorrow because of the issues with the studio. And Thursday, Steve Quayle will be back on. I just want to say thank you so much for your patience, your kindness, your support. I may do a kind of a news update tomorrow, a little bit more concise and coherent, perhaps. And with that, God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.